Dunkin' Cold Coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Good morning, grand opening. This morning's dazzling opening ceremony honoring Japan's culture and tradition, kicking off the Tokyo Olympics. Team USA led by flag bearers Sue Bird and Eddie Alvarez. The emotion and excitement very visible after a year-long delay. The world's best athletes gathering together with the quest for gold now officially underway. Today, Friday, July 23rd, 2021.
Ledecky is on her way to history.
The Americans have dared to conquer once more.
And there it is.
From NBC News, this is a special edition of Today at the Olympic Games with Savannah Guthrie, live from Tokyo, Japan, and Hoda Kotb, live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza.
Hey, guys, welcome to this special edition of Today. It's a Friday morning. We're a teeny bit later than normal. We just saw those terrific opening ceremonies. Savannah and Tirico, they're wrapping up their outstanding coverage. It's only midnight, y'all. You did so well. You guys feeling okay?
We can barely hear you, Hoda.
It's gotten louder now than it was during the ceremony.
Or maybe it's so loud we've lost our hearing, but I think you said... Great job, Savannah.
Savannah.
Yes, we did. Don't move, though, kids. We're going to come right back to you in a second.
Yeah, don't go far. We're going to get your thoughts on all we just saw in just a moment. First, though, we do want to check out some of the highlights from this morning's start of an Olympics like no other on so many levels. NBC's senior national correspondent Tom Yamas is also in Tokyo for us. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys, good morning. What a show. The world really didn't know if this moment would ever happen, but it did. It was big. It was beautiful. The drone show was unlike anything we've ever seen. The creative team connected ancient Japan with the present day. And how about all those athletes? They were wearing masks, but you could tell they were smiling so big and now ready to show their talents on the biggest stage in sports.
Against all odds, the opening ceremony of the Tokyo Games, giving the world a reason to look up.
United States of America.
Team USA celebrating their moment in the spotlight. The wait took longer than usual, 5 years to make it into this stadium. Leading the way, flag bearer Sue Bird from the women's basketball team, going for her fifth gold medal, and U.S. baseball's Eddie Alvarez, the ultimate Olympian. He also won a silver medal in the Winter Games for speed skating. The ceremony also including scenes from ancient Japan, celebrating the artisans that built this country with their bare hands. On this night, building the Olympic rings. The showstopper?
Those are 1,800 drones.
The moment nearly 2,000 drones took to the air, forming a globe rotating through the sky. The stadium, though mostly empty because of COVID protocols, but about 1,000 government officials and foreign diplomats witnessed the event up close, including First Lady Jill Biden. Team USA decked out in Ralph Lauren from head to toe, even the masks were custom made. The athletes who couldn't be in the stadium rallying behind their team.
It's a special time. Playing for your country, playing with your brothers, it's amazing. We're looking forward to going out there and having business.
Simone Biles and the superstar gymnastics squad posting on Instagram, let the games begin.
And we do want to mention there was a small group of protesters outside the Olympic Stadium, but there were no disruptions to the program. One more note about the opening ceremony we do want to mention. We showed you this great moment earlier of those wooden Olympic rings. Back in 1964, when Tokyo last hosted the Games, some international athletes brought seeds from their home countries. Those seeds grew into trees. The wood from those trees was used to build those rings, a 57-year project, a great way to unite countries and generations generations of Olympians. Guys, back to you. Wow.
That's pretty cool, Tom. Cool.
Talk about playing the long game.
Thank you, Tom. No kidding.
All right, guys, we have to bring them in. The dynamic duo, they guided us through the remarkable. Oh, you guys,
yes.
Savannah, Mike Tirico. We have to say, you guys were on point. It was riveting. And look, we weren't able to be in the stadium. Actually, barely anyone was. You guys had front row seats, just you and the athletes. So give us a sense of what it felt like without the crowd, but with all the excitement.
You know what? I thought it was so moving and so beautiful, and somehow they pulled it off. I mean, you know, this is obviously an extraordinary circumstance, unlike any other games, but somehow they got the tone right, where it was serious, it was somber. There were moments of humor, however.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You got the joy, and the emphasis was on the athletes.
You know, the theme was united by emotion, and that was supposed to be the theme back in 2019 when they were planning for 2020, so they had to significantly pivot, and I thought they picked the right things to pivot. They tried to go back and forth, not get too celebratory, too happy, stay grounded in the meaning and purpose of what was going on, yet at the same time do understand that the athletes are here to enjoy themselves. And that's what hit me. When the athletes came out, that added the answer to the unknown that I think we had preparing for this. What was it going to be like in here? They brought the juice, and I think that changed the whole tenor of the evening.
They brought the joy.
They did, for sure.
Hey, guys, watching on TV, when those drones went up, it was pretty amazing on television.
Yeah.
What was it like being there and looking up and seeing that going on?
I'm telling you, this was jaw-dropping. We were lucky enough to see this in rehearsal, actually a couple of times, and every time I got chills. I couldn't believe it. The first time we saw it, we didn't know what it was. Then they said, oh, that's 1,824 separate drones that then, you know, changed position. And actually, I have a little surprise here, you guys, for Mike Tirico. I got one of the drones.
For real?
This is one of the Intel drones. There were 1,800 of these.
Fabulous.
Isn't this cool?
It's really good.
That flew in formation, which is incredible. I don't think it's ever been pulled off before. I mean, I just can't even imagine.
They did one little event in Pyeongchang at the opening ceremony with some drones, but nothing like this and nothing like what they formed, forming the globe and the countries. That was amazing. And you asked what it was like, Al, to be here. Honestly, I took off my headset and started taking pictures.
Yeah.
You know, we were going to talk over Imagine. Imagine was so beautiful.
Yeah.
So I just snapped a bunch of pictures.
It was beautiful. It looked like a heavenly body right above us.
Wow. And the athletes were gazing up, and they all had their cameras out, too. It was a pretty neat moment.
Tirico's just like us, guys.
Yeah.
You know, the drones, the flyover, the fireworks, so many moments. What about when Naomi Osaka lit that cauldron at the end? There had been so many questions about who would actually light it. And then to see her and all of us, we were like, that makes sense.
It was thrilling, especially after the year she's had. But she's such an incredible athlete. And for her to triumphantly be there and walk those steps, that was a moment for her, for this country, for the year that everyone has been through and what everyone has had to overcome. I think she really symbolized that. And it was just, it's incredible. And for her to be playing here in Tokyo after missing the summer of tennis, you know, in a way, who else could it be? I had hoped it would be her.
Sure you did, as a tennis fan, of
course.
So I was looking, we were driving over here, and we were looking at the tennis schedule for tomorrow, because somebody here is working, somebody wants to go to an event. Let's figure out which one is which. But we thought Naomi Osaka was playing on the tennis program tomorrow, and I couldn't find her name, and I thought maybe I was looking in the wrong spot. Well, they moved her match back a day so she could light the cauldron. So that was part of the deal.
You said it's very rare to have an athlete in the current games light the cauldron for the obvious reasons. They want to keep their focus on their sport.
Absolutely. Kathy Freeman in 2000 in Australia famously lit the cauldron. She competed and won gold in those games. So it has not happened very often, but the right person at the right time, because as you said, Naomi Osaka has spoken up for, I think, something athletes were afraid to do. And that's how I'm feeling, whether it's their mental health, their concerns about what's going on in society. She has used her voice and a platform as a four-time major champ, and now she gets to light the cauldron. She'll have another thing to talk about for a long time to come.
guys. You guys did such an A-plus job. We can't wait to see you out there. We're going to pack our bags. We're going to head there on Saturday. So, guys, we'll see you soon, okay?
That's some
nice work, guys. Can't wait.
Way to go.
See
you,
guys. And by the way, if you missed any of the excitement over the last few hours, or if you just want to relive it all again, you can watch the opening ceremony tonight in primetime, starting at 7:30 Eastern. Right here on NBC.
Coming up, guys, we will talk with a guy who's still riding high after the honor of a lifetime, being a flag bearer for Team USA. Eddie Alvarez is going to join us live from the bus. He's going back to the Olympic Village. We're going to visit with him right after this.
That's great.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/today. Just go to Indeed.com/today right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/today. Conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Strong. Second largest Olympic team in U.S. history. No nation has won more medals at the Summer Olympics than the United States of America. Entering now.
USA. We're back with this morning's extra special moment there for the two athletes who had the honor of being the flag bearers for Team USA. Basketball legend and four-time gold medalist Sue Bird, of course, and speed skating silver medalist, now turned baseball player, Eddie Alvarez. Eddie, if we can get this technology right, you're on the bus making your way.
Oh, he's off the bus.
Oh, you're off. You're off the bus.
I got here, guys. You guys are a little late. I'm about to get to the checkpoint here.
There you go.
As you can tell, the security is extremely high here. Let me just go ahead and say that Eddie Alvarez, correspondent, coming for you on the field.
Yeah.
Eddie, what did it feel like to lead Team USA into the stadium holding the flag?
Oh, guys, I mean, such an emotional moment for me, for my family, for my background. Mm-hmm. You know, just to get the honor to represent the United States of America, to hold the flag, a symbol of liberty and freedom. You know, my family came over to this country from Cuba in search of opportunity. And if it wasn't for them doing that, I wouldn't be in the position that I am now. The privilege that I have, that I had to hold the flag and lead Team USA through the opening ceremony. I mean, has been such a whirlwind of emotions.
Well, Eddie, we so wish that we could meet your mom, your dad, your wife, and your 11-month-old. So why don't we go ahead and bring them on the air? We've got Mabel and Walter Alvarez. Eddie's wife, Gabby, 11-month-old Jet. I mean, hey. Oh, Eddie, I'm not sure who was crying more during opening. You or that group on the side. Hey.
Oh my God. Oh God, you just made my night.
Gabby, tell us what it felt like watching your man.
Oh my God, I'm not crying. You're crying. It was such an emotional, incredible feeling. I'm so proud of you. I mean, everything you represent. You really. You've made all of us so proud.
Wow. And Mabel and Walter, I mean, watching your son lead Team USA must have been a real moment. Tell us what it felt like.
Oh, my God. There's no words to express the feeling. I thought I was going to be strong, but I lost it. I lost it because, Eddie, you truly make us proud, baby. Like always. God bless you.
Well, you know,
say hi, Dad.
Seeing all the Americans already gave me chills, and now seeing Eddie in front of all the U.S. team, knocked me out of, knocked me out of my socks. You know, I can't be any more proud. I cannot be any happier. I cannot be more grateful to everything, mainly to this country.
Eddie, just it's clear why you are where you are. We can see exactly why. We want to wish you the best of luck in Tokyo. Go, Eddie. We'll be there cheering you on, okay, honey?
I thank you so much for this. You have no idea. Appreciate you guys.
All right, honey.
Love you.
Thank you.
Congrats, Eddie.
Magic. See you, Eddie.
Bye, Ed.
Bye.
That's
why we love the Olympics.
Yes.
That's why we love the Olympics.
That's what we're talking about.
All right, we're going to be back. But first, this is Today on NBC.
We are back at 11:30 Eastern on this Friday morning here in the United States. It is 12:30 in the morning on Saturday there in Tokyo. The Olympic cauldron shining bright after the opening ceremony of the Olympics wrapped up less than just a half hour ago.
Watching Naomi Osaka light that cauldron was something to see.
Chills.
And if you missed the opening ceremony early, they're going to obviously run it in prime time tonight.
Starting at 7:30 tonight Eastern. And, of course, all the athletes have been training long and hard for this moment. One group we're going to be watching really closely, the gymnasts.
We are indeed, but you don't have to wait much longer to see them in action. Competition kicks off tomorrow morning, Tokyo time, which means you can begin to get your gymnastics fixed tonight. So in a moment, we will preview things with a woman who knows what it takes to win gold. We're talking about Miss Nastia Lukin. But first, a little more about the women and men of Team USA. They're the final preparations leading up to a moment these women have worked for all their lives. 364 days after the original Tokyo Olympics were slated to begin, the six women who make up the U.S. Olympics gymnastics team are ready to shine.
She is just so much better than everybody else.
Helping lead the powerhouse team, the greatest of all time, Simone Biles, the defending all-around champion, is back for her second games. She is ready to win gold and break records along the way.
How is this one different for you?
Going into Rio, I was kind of a kid, didn't really know too much. But now, like, I'm an adult, I know who I am, and I know what my gymnastics brings.
With Biles, there's Childs. Jordan Childs, that is. Simone's close friend and training teammate now by her side at the Olympics, ready to hit every routine like she's done this past year.
Buckle up. This is wild.
Suni Lee has put everyone on notice with her skills on the uneven bars and is even a contender for gold in the event. Michaela Skinner, an alternate in 2016, now officially part of the team and ready to represent after getting COVID and being hospitalized earlier this year. And rounding out the sensational six, rising stars Grace McCollum and Jade Carey. Both Carey and Biles could get new skills named after them during the games.
Wow.
And it all starts this weekend with the men's team taking center stage Saturday for their qualifying competition. Then it's the women's turn on Sunday. Tuesday with the team final, where the women are heavily favored to win for the third consecutive time. From there, it's the all-around and individual events.
Spectacular.
Simone is expected to become the oldest American woman to win all-around gold and first to repeat as all-around champion in more than 50 years.
Big release right here.
On the men's side, all eyes are on the high bar, where three-time Olympian Sam Mikulik and Brody Malone have a chance at the podium. Gone from these games, the gymnasts' family and friends cheering in the stands. The arena in Tokyo, void of any fans as a COVID precaution.
How are you guys going to, like, make sure that you're straight when it comes time for competition? I would imagine, Simone, that the group's going to rely on each other even more than before.
Yeah, of course, and we'll have so many repetitions. And I remember in Rio, it was like, you did so many, you almost can't mess up at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not worried. Once we get over there, we're set.
The pandemic already leading to a scare for the team, with the alternate Kara Aker testing positive earlier this week.
That was super sad news, but anyway, at least all of us six are good.
The team opting to stay at a hotel rather than the Olympic Village. Each gymnast now in their own rooms. But the team is still managing to soak in every second.
We're going to go on a little adventure.
Simone interacting with fans on Instagram during her downtime. Having fun, but staying focused, ready to get the job done.
And as for Simone, we know she's the greatest of all time, and now she's got an emoji to prove it. Check this out. Twitter's honoring her, making Simone the first Olympian to receive a custom emoji. You can see the goat. Even's got a leotard, got a gold medal. And it will appear whenever the user uses hashtag Simone or hashtag Simone Biles. So now, joining us, another U.S. gymnast, great 2008 Olympic gold medalist and Olympics NBC and Olympics analyst, Nastia Lukin. All right, Nastia, I know you're keeping your eye on the girls and the guys of the U.S. Olympic team. I know that Simone was doing her practicing, and she did that Yurchenko double pike business a couple of times, the thing that they wonder if she's going to do. It sounds to me like there's confidence that's going on.
Yeah, there is a lot of confidence, and they had their podium training, which means basically they go out into the competition arena, and it's the only time that they actually get to train where they will compete. And she did the vault, so we're all kind of crossing our fingers that it's going to go into one of the competitions. So when I spoke to her coach earlier in the week, they basically said that they didn't think that they would be doing it night one of competition, so the qualifying round, but we're hoping to see it probably in the all-around finals or vault finals.
Nastia, the Team USA female, a lot of pressure for them to bring home gold. But let's stick with Simone for a minute. 5 years ago in Rio, she brought home four golds, a bronze. A lot of people expecting her to leave Tokyo with five gold medals this year. Is that possible, probable, or inevitable?
I mean, it's kind of bound to happen. You know, thinking back to Rio, where she won four gold medals, and she was absolutely incredible and obviously the best in the world, and took more than a year off, and then comes back, and then, you know, obviously the Olympics being delayed for an entire year. She is better now than she has ever been in her entire career. And that's really, really hard to do. And gymnastics is, you know, one of those sports where the older you get, it gets even more challenging and more difficult. And so she could have won the Olympics here in Tokyo with the same routines and the same skills that she actually competed at in Rio. But that wasn't enough for her. You know, it's really trying to be better than she has personally ever been. She's competing against herself. And it's so admirable to be able to watch her, you know, continue just upping the game.
Nastia, the qualifying rounds this weekend, what are you watching for? Folks who are at home, what should we be watching for?
You know, I think the most challenging part actually is how good Team USA is, because in the qualifying round, the top two per country will only advance to the all-around finals, the event finals, and obviously you're qualifying to the team finals. But, you know, in my opinion, I think there's going to be at least three, if not four, in the top eight on each event, and then obviously the all-around finals. So what we always say is that you can't win a gold medal in the qualifying round, but you can obviously lose one by not making it to the finals. So obviously just trying to do their best, and really I think for them as well is just trying to come out onto that competition floor. It's been a year that nobody ever thought, you know, we'd experience. And so for them to be able to really achieve their dreams of finally becoming Olympians is going to be really exciting for them.
Nastia, who's the biggest competition? Who will we be watching to be competing really against our team?
Yeah, well, on the women's side, it's definitely going to be Russia and China. Watching them in training yesterday, you know, they were strong. They had the skills, they had the consistency. But something that the other countries sometimes lack is the consistency when the pressure is on, and that's what Team USA does so well. You know, it's three athletes up on each event. All three scores have to count in the team finals, and every single Olympics in the last, or at least the last few cycles, it's really been something that they excel in, is they go out there and they hit every single time.
Nastia, one of the things the girls all said to me during the interview was, we want to have fun. And you actually felt it. It wasn't like, let's have fun. They really had that vibe. You've actually had a chance to talk with them over there. This is after one of their teammates tested positive for COVID, one of the alternates. But, like, where is their headspace right now?
Yeah, I got a chance to talk to Simone yesterday and the day before, and I think you're exactly right, Hoda. You know, I think especially because of the year that everybody has had, they really just want to go out there and compete. And, you know, Simone's been to an Olympic Games, so she kind of knows what it's like. But as she said, it's different every single time you go out there. But for the other women, they are about to embark on the most memorable experience of their entire lives. Yes, a different experience than, you know, possibly some of us have ever experienced, but I know, like, just watching them, they're ready. They're physically ready. They're mentally ready. They're prepared. And now it's time to go win some gold medals for them.
It is. I love how Simone and Michaela Skinner call themselves the OG, like, old grandma.
Yeah, right. They're like 24 years old. Right.
Nastia, we look forward to watching. We'll see you there in a bit, okay?
Thank you. See you soon.
Nastia.
Mm-hmm. They're ready. We're ready. Up next, we're going to turn from the mat to the pool, the great Rowdy Gaines getting us ready for swimming, and the Team USA stars that are set to shine in Tokyo. That's right after this.
Join Hoda Kotb for a brand new season of her podcast, Making Space.
For season 5, I am making space to talk to people who are providing a sense of hope and inspiration when life changes course.
Uplifting conversations with inspiring individuals like NFL legend Drew Brees, singer-songwriter Ziggy Marley, and Today Show co-anchor Savannah Guthrie as you have never heard her before.
I found faith more viscerally, not because the bad thing didn't happen, but because it did.
I promise you, like me, will leave these conversations with some wisdom for your own journey, empowered and inspired to make space in your own life.
New episodes of Making Space with Hoda Kotb are released every Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Italy won't disappoint. Perhaps the only Olympic nation made famous for its flag bearing.
Japan will be represented by 631 athletes, including Rui Hachimura.
We are back on this special edition of Today with some more of those memorable moments from that parade of athletes during this morning's opening ceremony.
Do you think they gave
the Tokyo Olympics?
Do you think they gave Tonga enough airtime?
He used all of the oil in Tonga. Yeah,
actually, that's WD-40.
So when it comes to swimming, you know, this is the first time in 21 years that Team USA is going to be without Michael Phelps, the most decorated Olympian of all time. But there's a lot of swimmers that are ready to step up in his absence.
Here to tell us all about him is Rowdy Gaines. He's a 3-time Olympic gold medalist and the voice of swimming for NBC Sports. Rowdy, it's great to see you. We know we don't have Michael Phelps, and that's a real super bummer, but we do have Caleb Dressel. Do we think that Caleb can fill those shoes?
Well, Coda, it is a bit of a shock to the system when we have the GOAT retire from the sport, even though he will be with us in the booth on a few races coming up. But, you know, Caleb Dressel is one of those rare talents that comes along once in a generation. If anybody can kind of fill those shoes, it certainly can be Caleb. Now, he has the versatility. He has an incredible array of events he can swim, but he's much more of a sprinter. He will be in the 50 free, the 100 free, and the 100 fly, an event that Michael did swim, by the way, but he broke Michael's world record a couple of years ago. So it's going to be an exciting time to watch him swim. He could swim at least 6 events, maybe 7, and that's a lot of medals to haul in.
Rowdy, I got to spend some time with Caleb a few weeks ago down in Florida as he's training. And he does not like the comparison to Michael Phelps.
No.
But it's hard not to see Phelps when he's in the water. Let's talk about Katie Ledecky, the other superstar on the women's side. What should we expect from her this time around?
Well, Craig, if she doesn't take another stroke, she's still the greatest of all time on the female side. Nobody's even close. Think about this. She hasn't lost the 800 freestyle in almost 10 years.
Wow.
She has the top 20 times in history. It's unbelievable what she's been able to accomplish. Her body of work speaks for itself. She's going to be swimming a lot of events, including the 1500, the first time that's ever been contested for the women. So it's going to be a very exciting night about midway through the meet. She has the 200 freestyle, and then about an hour later, she's got the 1500 freestyle final. So it's going to be a fascinating night to see what in track and field terms, think about this. It's sort of like running the 800 and then an hour later running the 10,000. That's what it's going to be like for the GOAT, Katie Ledecky.
That is crazy, Rowdy. So you talk about the 800 freestyle and her dominance in it. And folks say that she's got one of the most efficient strokes going out there. For those of us who aren't swimmers, what does that mean? What edge does that give you?
Well, Al, you know, I think one of the great things about Katie is she has always relished the challenge. You know what I mean? She just loves to be able to get there and challenge herself each and every day. Nobody really has been close to her for so long, especially in that marquee event, the 800 freestyle. She literally has swum that by herself for almost 10 years. So she has to do it in practice. Look at that right there. Wow. I mean, she's a body length ahead of the world record line and about two body lengths ahead of everybody else. So this is the way that she has been able to really force herself to reach that highest level. She's going to have a challenge. The second morning here, night, back home, she's going to have that challenge against Ariana Titmus from Australia. That's going to be a great race in the 400 freestyle, but I don't think she'll be challenged in the 800 and the 1500.
Rowdy, it's Carson. It's good to see you, buddy. It's been too long. I love your passion for swimming, man. I listen to you talk all day long.
Thanks, Carson.
But talk us through the new event this year. There's a new event, the Mixed Medley Relay. Two men, two women, different strokes. How does the event work, and what's the strategy?
Dude, it's my favorite race. I mean, it literally is. It's the one I'm looking forward to the most, especially from the team concept. You know, you have six other relays, but this is the one that's going to be the most exciting because literally you could have two women, for example, lead off and build a great lead for a specific team like USA. That could happen with a Reagan Smith and a Lily King. Then all of a sudden, you've got all these men starting to chase that time down and that marker down. So the lead could change hands so many different times with all four different legs. And that's what makes this race so fascinating to watch. Plus, it's two men and two women. It's a great chance and opportunity for these teams to come together with both sexes. It's going to be a great race.
Rowdy, I love that you call Carson dude. That's the
answer.
Hey, I got a question though. You got a lot of young kids on the women's swim team. We did a whole piece, in fact, on how many teenagers there are on the team. How does that affect it?
Well, there are 11 teenagers. So I mean, it's a young team. It really is, and that's why the veterans really have to come through. That's Katie Grimes. She's 15 years old, the youngest on the team. They really have to come together. And I saw that. I was in Hawaii a couple weeks ago with my partner Dan Hicks, and I both went down there. And I saw those veterans really bring those youngsters together, and the team really meshed. In fact, I got a text from Greg Meehan, the head coach, earlier, and he said they had a team meeting last night, and it was the best team meeting they've had thus far. And it couldn't happen with better timing because it all starts tomorrow. We're going to give Nashta and her group a run for their money over tonight.
Smack talk from Rowdy.
Down.
Yeah.
11 teenagers, most since 19.
She's standing right over there. We're coming at you.
Ready?
Nasty, don't you take that.
Rowdy gains, like Rowdy.
Oh,
gains.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rowdy.
Bring it on, buddy. She says.
Thank you. Again, the first swimmers hit the pool tomorrow with heats in the men's and women's 400-meter individual medley, the women's 4x100-meter freelay, and more. And you can catch all of the action across the networks of NBC.
We're back, guys, with more from Tokyo. But first, this is Today on NBC. Hey, guys, we're only halfway through this special edition of Today.
Plus, we're going to go one-on-one with the U.S. skateboarder who could become one of Tokyo's biggest stars when his sport makes its Olympics debut. Plus, we got the legendary Tony Hawk.
Tony!
Yeah! Joining us live from Tokyo. We'll chat with Tony. We'll talk skateboarding this weekend and a whole lot more. But first, these quick messages.
In-laws. Love them or hate them, you're pretty much stuck with them. And when you're a ruler in the Middle Ages, that can be a serious problem. It might even land you dead. I'm Dan Jones, and on season 4 of This Is History, I'm telling the story of England's weirdest king, Henry III. He's in way over his head, and he's surrounded by bloodthirsty relatives with their eyes on his throne. To listen, search This Is History and follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, It is 12 o'clock on a special edition of Today. Coming up, let the games begin. The opening ceremony kicking off, paying tribute to Japan's cultural history. As Team USA and athletes from more than 200 countries march through Olympic Stadium. We will have a full preview from the athletes to watch to the events you won't want to miss.
We've never had anything like this, so I'm stoked for this opportunity.
So join us as the Olympic spirit is being felt throughout the world. Today, Friday, July 23rd, 2021.
Go Team USA!
We love Team USA!
USA! USA.
Supporting our Olympians.
From almost 7,000 miles away in New York City.
We can't wait to watch Team USA in Tokyo.
Go Team USA!
We're staying up all night to watch the Tokyo Olympics.
We're rooting for Team USA to go for gold.
Rooting for all the athletes from Boston.
We can't wait to see our favorite athletes in the Olympic Games.
Good luck, go Team USA!
Come on. Wow. Wow. Keep sending those in.
Raise your hand if you're pumped up for the Olympics. It is happening. Welcome back. We got a special edition. By the way, it's Friday, y'all. It's noon and we're on TV.
I don't think we've ever done this.
I think we should do this more often.
Savannah getting some much-deserved rest in Tokyo after she and Mike Tirico guided us through that amazing opening ceremony.
Yeah, it was
so great
cool.
to watch.
Yeah, I think it's 1 in the morning there, so they're all fast asleep.
It was
right
beautiful.
Now.
It was inspirational. You know, they didn't have the usual spectators, fans and families in the stands, but somehow it was still just incredible to watch. It was an unbelievable sight to behold.
It really was. Also watching at NBC, Sam Brock, he's in Tokyo with more from the opening ceremony. How amazing was that, Sam?
Spectacular. Good morning, guys, because it's 1 o'clock here. I know, good afternoon for you. For the first time in nearly 60 years, there was an Olympic opening ceremony in Tokyo. The last one was 1964. This time, though, in a newly rebuilt stadium that can house 68,000 people, though only a portion of it was actually filled with dignitaries and athletes. Still, it was a sense of unity and culture, not the size of the crowd, that took center stage.
At Olympic Stadium, notes of hope and harmony filled the Tokyo air, transcending language on a night more than 200 countries convened, one of the most resonant ceremonies in sports, capped by an emotional torch-bearing ceremony that saw Japanese baseball legends hand off to children from areas devastated by the 2011 earthquake, and the cauldron ultimately lit by local hero and tennis star Naomi Osaka, still uniting a COVID-conscious world. Team USA projecting a nation's optimism. For the first time in Olympic history, the delegations featuring two flag bearers each, with the United States nominating baseball player Eddie Alvarez and four-time Olympic gold medalist guard Sue Bird. Eddie and his family speaking with Today in an emotional exchange right after the ceremony.
Such an emotional moment for me, for my family, for my background. You know, just to get the honor to represent the United States of America.
Why don't we go ahead and bring them on the air? We've got Mabel and Walter Alvarez, Eddie's wife, Gabby, 11-month-old Jet. I mean, hey. Oh, Eddie, I'm not sure who was crying more during opening, you or that group on the side.
I can't be any more proud. I cannot be any happier.
As the night also highlighted many facets of this country's culture, from the dance drama art of Kabuki to the pictogram performance, first introduced in 1964 as a way to overcome language barriers. Despite some protesters outside the stadium, Tokyo aiming to unite a global audience with this display of 1,800 drones shaped like a globe. Team USA dressed in all Ralph Lauren, even the masks, the superstars who couldn't be in the stadium experiencing the events through their eyes. Many of the athletes moving past the COVID concerns that have dogged the games. Since the beginning of July, Tokyo's organizing committee has reported 110 cases connected to those involved out of tens of thousands of tests, with 11 of them athletes. Still, the overall positivity rate is below 0.1%. Inside the stadium, the energy among America's elite athletes, electric. The world today, one big melting pot, united by a common cause of completing the games in historic fashion.
and Tokyo bid for the 2020 Games in the aftermath of the devastating 2011 earthquake and tsunami, and flowers from Fukushima and several other prefectures will be in the victory bouquets handed out to the athletes. And guys, here we are a decade later in the midst of another global catastrophe, but organizers say this will be an opportunity to show the healing and the connective power of sports.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it will.
Back to you.
Yes, it will. Sam Brock there for us in Tokyo. Sam, thank you. And a reminder, you can watch the opening ceremony in its entirety tonight starting at 7:30 Eastern right here on NBC.
Now with us is one of Team USA's athletes who participated in that opening ceremony. Her name is Abby Gustaitis. She's co-captain of the U.S. Women's Rugby team, Rugby Sevens team. Abby, it's Hoda here. I was going to start this interview with you, but a little birdie told me that you were a big old fan of TRL back
in the
Abby.
Day.
Carson Daly would like to take
Let's
over
go, Abby.
This
Pump
interview.
It up. North Harford High School stud. So wait a second, Abby, you played basketball, right? You played basketball. Did you play for Lynn James?
I did play for Lynn James. Wow, incredible.
How did you get it? So you're a Terp. You didn't even get into rugby until you went to college in Maryland. Is that right?
Correct. I started playing in 2010. I just walked onto the rugby team, thought it seemed like a good time after playing basketball for my entire life.
And you watched TRL.
You
must have been
hear.
10 years old watching Eminem videos. That's terrible.
TRL, that was the highlight of my day. I'm running home from school, sprinting up my driveway. I'm turning MTV on to see Carson right there.
I love it. High school is the only school that had a farm on it and a working barn, I understand.
We did have electricity, as some people may not believe.
Okay, but. All right.
You know what? I love that she's an Olympic athlete, Carson. She's getting ready to compete for Team USA, and the thing that made her nervous was talking to Carson Daly. We hate to say we were eavesdropping, Abby, when you were getting mic'd up. Just tell us about the team. You're co-captain of this rugby team. We're super excited for you. What do y'all think your chances are of winning gold?
We're super excited. It's a group of 12 incredible women from all over the country, super diverse group of gals, and I'm honored to lead them. And we got our eyes on that gold medal, and we want to leave Tokyo with a medal around our neck.
Do you find that people are still trying to figure out rugby? My fiance plays rugby, and he's always explaining it to everybody. Do you feel like it's catching on?
It's definitely catching on. I think it can be a huge hit in America. It's a 14-minute game. It's absolutely hectic. It's full tackle. Women's and men's rules are the complete same, which is incredible. And I think as long as we can get people watching it, we'll get America right behind this team.
Abby, what is it about rugby that you love? What is it about rugby that makes you excited?
The camaraderie is what's kept me around rugby for over a decade. It's the most welcoming group of people. The respect and discipline that is shown in the sport and taught to you is everlasting. But the physicality and the finesse for me is what keeps me coming back. It's absolutely exhausting, but you're always coming back for more.
Abby, we so appreciate you staying up late. Can you take us inside that opening ceremony that just wrapped up a short time ago? I mean, it was magical on TV. I can only imagine what it was like to experience it firsthand there.
One of the most incredible nights of my life. I'll remember it forever. Walking next to the American flag being carried by Sue and Eddie was surreal. And I have goosebumps just thinking about it. But seeing everyone there, they really put on a great show with the drones and seeing the globe and then playing the song Imagine was just gives me the feels and absolutely chilling.
Abby, yeah, we want to say thank you, but we figure you don't care about us. You just care about Carson.
Well, so. No, listen, were you team NSYNC or team Backstreet Boys?
NSYNC, come on, JT.
I know. Listen, the girls, you guys were fifth place in Rio. We're pulling for the gold this year. You're in Tokyo. Abby, when you get it, we want you to come down here. I'd love to meet you in person on the plaza. We'll recreate a TRL moment and give you a big old hug. So best of luck to you.
Way to go, Abby. Go get them.
They just picked up like a whole slew of new fans, by the way.
Well, like Carson, how cool is that?
I love it. I makes you feel old, but I love it.
You're so proud of her. You just made a rugby player blush.
Yeah. She's incredible.
Cool. All right, bye, Abby.
Still smiling.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Up next, we've got a sport making its Olympic debut. Cannot wait for this. Skateboarding. Tom Yamas catching up with the star of Team USA, who's a favorite for gold.
That's right. Plus, we got the sport's biggest icon, Tony Hawk, live from Tokyo. He'll join us, and we'll talk skateboarding. But first, we'll do that right after this.
We're back, guys, with more of this special edition of Today after this morning's epic opening ceremony.
They were amazing. Mm-hmm. Well, the games are known for events like tennis, track and field, swimming, and gymnastics. But this summer, some new sports are making their debuts.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Among them, skateboarding. And remember this name because you're going to be hearing it a lot. Team USA's Nyjah Huston.
That's right. He's already one of the sport's most high-profile stars. And NBC's Tom Yam has had a chance to talk to the skating sensation. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys, good morning again. Yeah, we hear a lot about Simone Biles and Katie Ledecky, Team USA's women's soccer team, but America's best bet for a gold could actually be in skateboarding. Nyjah Huston is a name you may not know, but your kids probably have heard of him. What Tom Brady does with a football and Serena Williams does with a tennis ball, Nyjah does with a skateboard. He is the best. He's the biggest in the sport right now, and after talking to him, he's well aware of the magnitude of this moment.
Nyjah Huston has been ramping up for this moment. A skating superstar known for taking on anything in his path.
Fakey.
Oh! Now ready to compete on the biggest stage of them all, the Olympics.
Talk to me about where your mind's at right now.
Excited, very excited. A lot of pressure, a lot of nerves, obviously. Way bigger than any skate contest I've ever skated before. We've never had anything like this, so I'm stoked for this opportunity.
Huston is part of the first ever U.S. Olympic skateboarding team.
It's amazing. It's a special feeling. It's a special time for skateboarding in general. I'm thankful that I'm still in a good point in my career to make the team first and to have a good chance of going out there and getting the gold.
Huston started skating as a kid and quickly found his footing. He was a preteen prodigy whose signature style and gravity-defying feats launched him to incredible heights.
For me, it happened when I was so young. I won the biggest amateur contest when I was 10 years old. And then by the time I was 11, I was skating X Games.
But even with the early success and fame, Huston remained fueled by his love of the sport.
Every time I would go skate, I would be working on learning new tricks and landing new stuff. And there's a special feeling as a skateboarder when you try something for hours and you finally land it.
That passion for skating is real. Look no further than the 26-year-old's Instagram, with more than 4 million followers watching the superstar hone his skills on rails, sidewalks, in his home, and out at skate parks. Huston giving his fans a behind-the-scenes look at his drive to be the best.
I've just always had a lot of dedication for the craft on going out there and putting the hours in and putting the work in and getting the practice in to get it done.
Huston has won 13 X Games gold medals, and he's a six-time world champion. Oh, and did I mention he's won more prize money than any other skater?
There are two skating formats at the Tokyo Olympics, park and street. Huston is skating street, where you have to make the most of every rail, jump, and slope.
It's a really high chance that you can injure yourself every time you're on the board because the stuff you're doing out there is so technical.
Now Huston hopes that hard work and practice pays off.
What can American fans and fans all over the world expect from you?
They can expect me to go out there and give it my absolute all because I'm really proud to be representing Team USA.
Nyjah tells me he is going for gold. Skateboarding kicks off on Saturday. We will be rooting on Nyjah and the entire USA skateboarding team. Nyjah's probably the most famous skateboarder on the planet, right after our next guest, of course, who also got a run at the skateboard park here as well, the world-famous Tony Hawk. Guys, I can't even tell you how much of a nerd I am right now. I have to take a picture with him because I was such a fan growing up. This guy was one of my heroes. So cool to be next to him here in Tokyo.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, Tom, thank you.
Well, Tony, let's just jump right in, man. Congratulations. I mean, geez, a couple weeks ago, you were competing, I believe, out at the X Games in SoCal. Here you are now. What a get for us here at NBC to have you commentating on skateboarding this weekend. Just tell everybody, I can't even imagine what it must be like for the sport and for you personally to have skateboarding in the Olympics.
It's a very exciting opportunity. It's been a long time coming. I think that there was interest in skateboarding in the Olympics early on, and the skate industry wasn't organized enough, didn't meet all the criteria to actually qualify. And now here we are, and it's great, especially with surfing and sport climbing. I feel like there's a youthful energy here.
Tony, walk us through how they score this thing, because I think a lot of people, this will be new to them. They'll be like, well, what does that mean? What does it mean with a flip? So walk us through a little bit of the rules.
Well, the difficulty factor is a big part of it. Consistency, obviously, if you're going to be making your tricks, especially in the routines, a fall can count. I mean, that can end your whole run right there. But what you want to see is people doing the bigger stuff, the bigger stairs, the bigger handrails in the bowl, doing the big aerials, going further, going faster. And really, it's sort of an overall impression. So it's definitely something the judges have to know. Precise skateboarding and be living in it to understand.
Tony, you know, you've done this 900 degree flip. I think it's like 2.5 times. You're a park competitor. Is that what we're going to be looking at mostly? These big kind of flips and things, or the other criteria that's taken part?
Well, this is the park discipline is the closest thing to what you're seeing now, which is called the vert ramp. But the vert ramps are generally about 13 feet tall, and nothing in the park event is that high. So you're not going to see that type of spinning maneuver or aerial maneuver until we actually have a vert discipline in the Olympics. But for now, the park, it's sort of a hybrid of some street elements and also a lot of swimming pool. It's the kind of thing you would find at a local skate park, which is much more accessible than vert ramps. So I understand why it's here in the Olympics.
Really quickly, 30 seconds, Tony. Nigel Houston this weekend, does he live up to the hype?
He does. He is Olympic precision skater. Between him and Yuta Horigami in the street, that's going to be a toss-up. Shane O'Neill's a favorite there, too. But you will not believe what he can do with a skateboard consistently every time.
Tony, you see that 1080? You were there. What was that? We saw your 900.
I was there. It was right in front of me. I was the closest person to it.
Just quickly, 12 years old. Guy Curry, I think, was the young man who did it. What was that like to see?
Guy Curry, yeah.
Guy.
Yeah, I mean, if Vert makes it into the Olympics in the future, Guy's going to be one of the top competitors.
Guy Curry.
Wow.
1080. That's 12, top of 12, the 900.
Did you say 12 years old?
12 years old. Tony, thanks, buddy. We'll be watching on Sunday as the first Olympic medals for skateboarding are handed out. Our coverage from Tokyo and New York continues in just a minute. But first, this is Today on NBC.
On Sunday.
If you ever needed to be persuaded that bad things can happen anywhere, then take a journey with us.
From compelling mysteries to in-depth investigations, our Dateline episodes are available as podcasts.
Follow Dateline NBC now to get new episodes every Tuesday. To listen ad-free, subscribe to Dateline Premium on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or datelinepremium.com.
Great storytelling with a twist from the true crime original.
And the games are on. Yes. Welcome back to this very special edition of Today, which has afforded us a couple extra hours of sleep this morning. And with so many events, athletes, and places to watch the Tokyo Olympics, we found just the guy who is up for the challenge of breaking it all down, Al, and also the easiest packing job to Tokyo.
Yes.
14 khakis,
there
14
you go.
White shorts.
Oh, there you go.
That's right. Same colors. We're, of course, talking about the one, the only, Steve Kornacki, king of khakis. Take it away.
Yeah, well, it wasn't 14 pairs that I brought. It was probably about 3 or 4, but there's washing machines here, so it should be okay, they tell me. Well, yeah, you say it's a challenge to try to go through the schedule because there are going to be, in total, 7,000 hours of Olympic coverage on all of the different NBC networks. So where do you find what here? Well, let's give you a little bit of a guide. NBC, this is the mothership, the broadcast network, NBC. Basically, the rule of thumb here is on any given day of the Olympics, the biggest event that day, the biggest event, especially if there's a medal on the line, look to NBC for that. But then there are all sorts of other events just constantly going on. All of the different cable channels here, part of the NBC family, Telemundo, CNBC, USA, NBCSN, the Olympic Channel, all sorts of channels here. You can find on any given day a wide assortment of events. For instance, could we go back to that for a second? If we can go back, I could just show you. Tomorrow, for instance, if you want to see the very first medal given out at the Olympics, you're going to go to the USA Network tomorrow, and you're going to see the first medal given out in women's air rifle.
Oh,
so a little something
right.
You can look for. That's where you would find that. You know, by the way, if you're a badminton fan, you're going to be looking for NBCSN. If you're an archery fan, USA Network. So there's all sorts of different possibilities. Here's your little shortcut. NBCOlympics.com /schedule. Go there. You can find everything.
Hey, Steve, what about those cord cutters out there? Folks who might want to stream it or watch it on the go or watch it on demand, where do they go?
Yeah, let's take a look. This is the screen we had up there a second ago. Again, I just mentioned NBCOlympics.com, and if you do a /schedule, you can find everything. That's your sort of master schedule, or you can download the NBC Sports app. Either way here, you can stream. You can stream events live. You can stream highlights. And the other one here, the big one, is Peacock. Peacock, the streaming service, if you download Peacock, if you sign up for Peacock, here's the key. Big women's gymnastic fans out there, remember this huge time difference between Tokyo and the U.S. When it's morning in the U.S., it's prime time here in Tokyo. And that means a lot of these major gymnastics events, Simone Biles, U.S. women's team, they're going to be participating in their events when it's morning in the U.S. So you can go to the Peacock, you can stream it, watch it live in the morning before it airs prime time on NBC. So a little bit of a workaround there.
All right. And you've got some big events that are on your radar, Steve. What do you have?
Yeah, you can see. Well, this thing, gymnastics popped up here, and I was just mentioning that. This is going to take center stage of all the sort of major events. Gymnastics is going to be the first one to really take center stage. You've got qualifying this weekend. You've got right away early next week, you're going to be into the women's team competition. The U.S. women trying to win their third straight gold medal as a team. And then as soon as that ends, the women's all-around is going to be beginning next week. Simone Biles, she's going for her second straight gold medal in the all-around. Also, there's a big question there. It's not so much will she win. There's a big expectation. Well, how much will she win? Just how dominant will she be? That's the joy of watching Simone Biles. She finds some new way to dominate the competition every time. So gymnastics takes center stage first. Also this weekend, swimming. There are going to be some medals given out in swimming. You're going to start seeing that take place this weekend, take place for days to come. And then really, gymnastics, swimming kind of at the front end, the middle end of these Olympics. And then at the last week or so, what's really going to take over, track and field. That's when that really kind of end of July, first week of August there, that's when they start giving out the medals for track. So gymnastics, swimming, track, kind of the order of operations there for some of the big events.
Steve, do you know what time that women's archery is on USA? Can you look at the magic board and let me know?
NBCOlympics.com/Steve.
There you go.
Wow.
Steve, did you carry on the big board or did you have to sit
on it? Yeah, it's that thing where you got to buy the extra seat. So hopefully we get our money's worth. You know?
All right. Steve, we'll see you there on Sunday. See you there.
You got it.
We're going to be back with more from Tokyo. The sights and sounds from this morning's opening ceremony. But first, this is Today on NBC.
And we're back, and can we say what an incredible morning this has been for us, especially watching Naomi Osaka light the cauldron today.
Oh, my gosh.
You'll see it all again at 7:30 in the rebroadcast, I'm sure, if you watch.
I think if people were wondering, like, are we getting pumped for the Olympics, people watching, I feel like it set in. I think once you saw the opening ceremony, Naomi Osaka, and the athletes, man, they were, like, weeping. It was a big moment for everybody.
You know, you see, once you saw those athletes coming in, and you realize this is the one thing that we can all gather around together.
Yeah.
We can all agree on.
Yeah.
That we want to see.
Yeah.
It unites us, not just globally, but even in our own country.
Yeah.
That's what sports is.
I think that's really cool.
Felt like a global deep breath watching this morning after a couple of years of just, you know, feeling divided and seeing all the athletes stand united. That's the good stuff we've been waiting for a long time.
Absolutely. We needed that. We needed that joy. We're pumped. We're all getting on planes. We're getting to Tokyo. So Craig, Al, and I will be there with Savannah live on Monday. But don't forget, guys, we want people to come to the plaza because we need a bunch of people out there to cheer Team USA.
Bring your red, white, and blue, baby.
Yeah.
This is just the beginning. We've got 16 days. Is that right?
That's right.
Roughly. Wait,
Kornacki just texted me. He needs two more pairs of khakis.
I'll pack it. Good idea, buddy. Thank you so much for joining us for this special edition of Today on this Friday morning. And don't forget, you can see it all again tonight on NBC.
See you from Tokyo.